for reals.
No, what do we name it?
Healing with the Disco.
No.
Oh, I was like, what do you mean?
Come on, take a ride. We're here by your side. Sit down, shut up, and grab a drink. You're healing with the Disco Queens.
Hey guys, welcome back
to Healing with the Disco Queens.
Yes, I'm Susanna.
And I'm Alex. And this is the podcast that you put on when you need a good laugh. You need life advice. I don't know who would listen to us, but when you just need a moment and take a breather from the world, well, here's your girls.
Yep, we're the girls who have lived life in their 20s and are here to tell all about it. And yeah.
Yes, so today's episode is really special. We're here in season 2.
Woo!
And we decided, let's talk about the title first, and then we'll get to why it's special.
So the title comes from the song "Slipping Through My Fingers,"
because you know we love,
and it is, I forgot. So it comes from the song "Slipping Through My Fingers" by ABBA. Have to have some ABBA, and it is. I try to capture every minute. Mm. And so we are talking about, obviously, life today.
And we have some guests that we're super excited.
Our first guest ever!
And so coming to talk about their 20s is our own moms. So this is my mom, Jessica.
And this is my mom, Tammy.
Said, it's me, Jessica.
It's me.
Have you ever seen that? It's a movie. Anyway, so what we're going to do first is we're actually going to play a game just to, like, welcome them to the couch.
Yes.
Making them feel comfy before we really dive into the juicy
nitty-gritty.
So do you want to start or you want me to start?
You start it, because I started the episode.
So, we're playing Let's Get Deep. Mm-hmm. If you've seen that.
This is Mom Edition.
And so, I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to answer it for myself. And then if anybody wants to chime in.
Yes.
You don't have to have a bell or anything.
Yeah.
Okay. I actually picked this card
immediately.
Cool. Okay, so if you could leave a mark on the world that outlasted you, what would it be? I feel like Healing with the Disco Queen.
Yeah.
No.
This is our mark.
This is the mark. No, I don't know. I think I always talk about being a marble and, like, we can't control half the stuff. So, like, that would be really cool for that to become bigger than myself or... Yeah?
Nothing.
Okay.
Continue.
Okay. I think that would be really cool to, for it to be bigger or, like, I don't know. I've always envisioned all of this becoming bigger and just, I don't know. I always wanted to be like Mr. Rogers, actually.
Yeah.
I love Mr. Rogers, and I just wanted to
see. Beautiful day in the neighborhood.
Yes. Yes. And so, yeah. Like, I don't know. I think the stuff that I do with therapy and art and all that would be really cool to one day have it in permanent media.
Love it.
So this is step one.
Yeah. You're healing the world one moment at a time.
Yes.
One marble at a time.
One marble at a time.
I love it.
Okay. You go.
Okay, my turn. Oh, I get deeper. Ooh, what is the moment you get nostalgic about and why? So obviously I'm in music. We all know this. And I think I get really nostalgic when I hear certain types of music, because music and memory, we could go on a whole episode just with that. Mm-hmm. But I think for me, it has to do with middle school. Even though it was a very interesting time for us all.
I lived.
It's all the same. Especially with the music coming out, me figuring out life, like, you know, when you're a toddler or you're like elementary, you're just this little snotty kid running around and you're like, I don't know what's going on. And in middle school, you start developing more complex emotions. Mm-hmm. And you start figuring out things you like and don't like. Especially things you don't like. And, you know, have all these attitudes and figuring out, like, how to, you know, go about life. And so anytime I hear my music that I had on that blue iPod Nano, it takes me back.
The circle.
Yes. Lil Wayne and Lady Gaga. Like,
It got lost in Gatlinburg because it fell out of a church van. I had the same one. It was blue.
Oh, no.
And it slid out of the church van. And we were next to a drain. And it fell. And it stopped. And I went to grab it. And it fell. It was nice.
One of those slow motion
Yes.
things.
I mean, it was like a movie. And I was like, are you kidding me? The sound's nostalgic, too.
I know.
Okay.
Clicks.
All right.
Jessica.
Oh, I was like, who's going?
Jessica.
He said, I don't know.
We alternate.
Hang on.
Yes.
Right.
This is appropriate. Yes.
Got them too.
Okay. Here we go.
Ooh. What is something about you that you think is important for your daughter to know?
Oh, we're getting there already.
We're going there. Immediately. That's why it says deeper. Something about me that you think is important for you to know? I don't know, honestly.
What do I not know about you?
I know,
literally.
I'm kind of an open book whenever it comes to Alex, and so there hasn't been a whole lot that we haven't talked about, haven't shared. Mm-hmm. I would say definitely just knowing your own strength.
Mm.
That you've got a strength, that we all have our own strengths, and just because my strength isn't your strength doesn't mean that we're not all strong and that we can all, you know, do our part.
Yeah. I love that. We're open books to each other, so literally we just like, yeah, I think that's the main trait. We didn't really get into the father-daughter. We haven't really gotten to the mother-daughter dynamic yet. We're gonna get there in just a second, but I feel like everybody here is just really open, and we already know all of the juicy details,
right?
But I don't think that's a bad thing.
No.
You know, I don't know.
Good answer.
Yeah, good answer.
Okay, the oldest goes last.
Yes. What song reminds you of your daughter?
That's perfect for my
face. I think that specifically I was hoping to.
Yes, of course. Well, she and I have Stevie Nicks in our blood because of my mother, her grand. And so I gotta say Landslide, of course.
Yes, good answer. So what about growing older brings you excitement?
Ooh.
So if you don't know out there, I turned 30 this year.
Yeah.
So we are hitting the ski slope.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
the adult year adult. You're about,
about to be the adult year adult. I think this, I feel like this is the same response as what I just said, but the idea of we get to look back on this time and with that wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I think back when we were in our 20s and just the anxiety and the unknown and I don't know, I think that is one thing I'm getting, I get excited about my little grandma hobbies and I don't go to bed, nobody in our family goes to bed at 9 or 10 or a reasonable time. I think my grandparents still go to bed at 3 in the morning, so that's never gonna be me, but I think I just like the idea of what you said that I was becoming so domestic. I just planted mums.
Yeah.
And I've been doing my little gardening.
I know.
And making the house feel not just the house, but just, I don't know, it's my own. So I don't know.
I think it's exciting, bouncing off of that. And you know, you get excited when you're newly 20, right? You experience all the adult things or whatever. And have fun and all this stuff. But I think that, your 30s brings you more fun. That is the domestic life. That is, you know, I get excited about, cooking, know? And, having
baked
all the herbs and all the things. And, whatever, scrapbooking or planning stuff.
I just organized my quilt closet, so there's
love
that, too.
Love that. Yes.
So, I love, yeah. No, I
Getting
think that's...
Old.
Well, I think getting old, people fear it a lot. And, like, don't... Mm. I've already kind of went through that the past 2 years. I haven't celebrated my birthday. Like, in the way that I've always... I like a big party. I'm a Sagittarius. Like, right. Let's go. I share a birthday with Britney Spears.
Yes.
Like, you gotta go.
Do not shake your head.
And so, like, yeah. I don't know. I think the idea of slowing down doesn't mean, like... I don't want to say slowing down doesn't mean getting old, but, like, it's okay to slow down. We don't have to, like, outrun anything, and I feel like that's what a lot of your... Not that you're trying to outrun. Maybe that was my 20s of this idea of, like, I don't know what the next step is, but I do know what the next step is, and I got to improve this, and I got to do this, and... Mm-hmm. So, I don't know.
Nice.
I'm excited about my quilts.
And I'm going to bounce off that, too, saying... Because a lot of times your goals change. Mm-hmm. Your perspectives change. You know, where in your 20s, I know both of you were in college, mm-hmm. pursuing masters, you know, the whole education.
Right.
And that was always right in front of you saying, I've got to get this. I've got to get this class done. I've got to get this degree finished. Right. I want this part of my professional career established. And now you've met that goal. Mm-hmm. And now you're ready to say, okay, now what? What's next? And taking that step back and having a little bit of time to say, I'm in a new city.
Yeah.
I'm in a new place. And, you know, find your own little corner of the world.
Mm-hmm. It is like slowing down too, more like present moment instead of that all the time running future.
To the next thing.
Mm-hmm. So getting older is about not getting older.
Yeah, period. We just go, we're peeking in the grave.
We're peeking in the grave, brother.
Amen.
We said that on our first episode.
Oh, yeah.
Because we said we never, people are like, have like a midlife crisis. And I'm like, I never really feel like we're ever going to peak. Like, we just keep growing and growing and growing and growing.
You never know.
So, just we'll see. We're going to look back on this when we're 80. It's going to be programmed in our brain.
That was before I broke my hip.
Okay, sorry. Go.
Next one. Go. Oh, this is wild. Have you changed over the past year? Yes. Can you describe two ways you've changed?
Oh.
So, this past year, I texted my old supervisor, actually, this, like, last week, because I just started, like, new jobs, like, full-time. I'm, like, actually getting settled and... financially stable. Yes. And I texted my old supervisor and I was like, just thinking back to this time last year of how unregulated I was, like, just sad. I was just in that grind. I was in school finishing up in my internship and it was a rough time. And I think, like, that whole experience for me grew. I've had an immense amount of resilience. And I always joked, like I was screaming at the universe, like, I have enough grit, okay? Stop, like, stop doing things now. Yes. I'm more resilient. But I think that's so true. Like, I have gained so much resilience that I literally feel like there's nothing I can't do at this point. And so that's one thing. I guess the other thing would be, like, probably... trying to stay more in the present moment, because my whole life they always say, like, don't wish your life away, you know? And I think it's always that next step, like, oh, I'm 16, I want to be 18, 18, want to be 21, like, that kind of thing. And so, like, ever since I was 25, I've always said, oh, I'm on the back half to 30, you know?
Yeah, you have.
I have, and even still, and I'm like, I think this year has really helped me just be like, you know what? Whatever is for me will not miss me. Like, whatever's happening is supposed to happen. And I have grown a lot more in, like, spirituality and looking at, like, angel numbers and, like, just taking a step back and letting life happen and knowing that things are supposed to happen for a reason. And, yeah, it's given me a lot of peace. Mm. So, here we are.
Yay.
I changed the night.
I think
there's...
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
My turn.
Yeah, yes. Your turn.
Okay.
Follow up that.
With the other... Maybe this will
put
you better. Okay.
Oh, okay.
How fitting.
That's hilarious. Where is your favorite trip we took together, or where do you want to take me? Oh.
What was your favorite
trip? I don't
think
it was ever just a single trip.
We did travel a lot.
It was always the St. Louis rides.
It was. That's literally all I was thinking was the time. It was just the two of us in your Jeep. I'm answering your question.
And we went to Ferguson.
And I don't remember. Let me tell you guys, we almost wrecked, actually. Because.
Raccoons.
No. Hold on.
Oh, okay.
That was a different one. We were at a gas station.
Oh, sorry, mobile car.
Oh, that one. Okay, continue.
I don't remember. I don't even remember how it started, but I loved stuffed monkeys. Monkeys were my favorite thing. And I had the monkey. And for some reason, I looked at her and I, like, twitched the monkey, and the monkey was doing this, and she thought it was the funniest thing ever.
I'm driving down the road. I'm not even on the interstate while she's doing this. Then I snatched the monkey and I put it up on the steering wheel and make it do it while we're driving.
And it's just it's doing this number,
not at the rock.
Not at the rock. I hadn't even seen that yet.
Yeah.
And no, I always think of that and dying laughing, crying because we're laughing so hard. But that was always, I mean, we could always go to Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
I'm answering your own question. Sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, that was the one thing. Up until you were, I guess, probably 10, 11, 12. Well, even after that. There was a lot of trips that I was lucky enough to be able to play softball for a long time. And that wasn't, you know, you were along for the ride. You were with me. And I just never looked at, you know, you just, it was package deal. That whenever it's time to go somewhere, just come on, let's go. Mm-hmm. And you packed your little bag and
my little suitcase.
Off we went and you need a little monkey suitcase. And I do remember we actually got to take a trip where we went to Six Flags.
Oh.
And
yeah.
You convinced me to go on the Superman.
The Superman.
You're
just
lying.
So this is the one that it takes you up and then it drops you.
Yeah, that one.
I
wasn't okay with that. No, my favorite was I convinced you to go on the water ride.
Oh.
And you got wet and it was not a good time.
I was not happy.
You're like, I didn't know because she got stuck right under the.
Oh my god.
Right under the waterfall. So she's like
that thing.
I was like, I'll go on this with you as long as I don't get too wet.
And you're the one.
Yeah.
I was just like, just wringing out the hair, wringing out the clothes.
That's bad.
Water.
No, it's so bad.
But I'm glad we were able to do that. We went to the Route 66 Museum, I got to tell her about Times Beach, which is no longer even a city in Missouri. It has been incorporated into a historical park. It's a park now.
I tried to take you there, and I couldn't remember how to get there.
Oh, yeah.
But it was right on the way to Six Flags.
Yeah.
And it was one of those that we... You know, we had learned about it, and I've found more of the history on it. And, you know, being a chemistry major, it was a chance for me to kind of share some stuff with you. Oh, another trip that I'm glad that you and I got to take was to Oak Ridge.
Oh, yeah, that was really
that
cool.
That I was able to take some students. That myself and another teacher and another couple of teachers were able to go with one of the professors and some of his students at UTM. And so we all loaded up one of the
charter buses.
Mm-hmm. It was one of the 15 passengers.
Well, it was not a school bus.
Yeah. No, it wasn't a big one, but it was one of the smaller ones. And we all went to Oak Ridge and spent, 2 days?
Yeah, that was really cool.
That we got up there and we got to tour the Y-12.
And you can't tour on your own.
We
got to see behind the scenes.
Yeah. And the museum part that talks about how the Manhattan Project and Oak Ridge fit into all of the nuclear things.
That sounds super cool.
Yeah. So that was a neat thing that I got to share with you where as a student, you know, I don't always get to share things with my own kids.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Mm-hmm.
I love that y'all traveled so much, and now that I've traveled with her, you know, it helps just so much. Like, she just knows things. Like, knows how to travel, knows how to, you know. And, like, we traveled and stuff, too. But I just, y'all were, like, always on the road. I guess yeah. She talks about her childhood. She's like, I've been everywhere.
I've been everywhere, man. But I think that came from Mama and Papa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, they were the always. I mean, I have pictures of them in the 70s.
Yeah.
In the 70s, going to, the 70s. Like, the Grand Canyon.
Well, Mom was pregnant with me whenever they went one time mm-hmm. to the Grand Canyon. And she was afraid that she wouldn't be able to fit down there with the Hopi Indian.
Right.
Where they had their buildings and whatnot in mm-hmm. the cliffs. Mm-hmm. And she was worried that she wouldn't be able to fit down in one of the little... you know, holes that they would go oh into their houses and whatnot. Of course,
yeah, right.
She no, was a she just stick.
Yeah.
She wasn't showing until after she was already
done. Yeah. It was like 8 months, and you're like, oh, when are you due? Like next week.
What? Yeah. No, but they travel a lot. And also, they moved out of state, so they were just traveling came supernatural.
Yeah.
We didn't know this. They don't know this. Travel came supernatural because it was supernatural.
Supernatural. Sometimes.
Okay, last one.
It's me.
It's you.
Yes. Okay. List three things you currently feel lucky to have in your life. Oh, well, I have my love of my life was my college sweetheart, and so I'm lucky to have him.
Yeah.
I'm lucky to have my favorite daughter.
Yes.
And I'm not only lucky to have my favorite son, but he's about to get married, and so we're adding a plus one into this family. So there's my luck.
I knew you were going to say that.
So now that our game is over, that was super fun.
Yeah, I love that.
So now we are going to get to ask them the hard questions. Mm-hmm. Just kidding, not really.
We're grilling you.
Why did you not give me that dog?
But you did.
No, literally.
Eventually. And the cats.
Yeah,
and the cats. That's all I
and
know.
The other dogs.
And
yeah.
The other dogs.
We
yeah.
just got everything.
We got it all. Okay. It's fine. So, we're going to kind of reintroduce our moms
yes.
in the way that we viewed them.
Yeah.
And then we're going to grill them with some questions and kind of what their 20s were like.
Yeah.
And
oh.
In my head.
Yeah.
Yes. In my head, I feel like we have personal struggles, but also like they're so universal. So, like, I don't know. So, do you
want to
start?
Yeah, I'll start.
Okay.
So, my mom, we have always had an interesting relationship. Like, you know, a little different because when I was growing up, I would tell my mom, like, pretty much everything. Pretty much. Some things she had to find on her own. Or I would tell her years later.
I was about to say that.
I'm like, things would happen. But see, and as I get older, I realize I just like to handle things now and then tell her. I like to handle it first because I don't want to, like, come to her with a problem and then her fix it. Because that was always the thing. But, as I was going to say, when I was a kid, I always had all these friends, and they felt like they couldn't talk to their mom. And so they would talk to my mom, because she was always this, like, open door, you know, talk to them about whatever. And so I was always grateful to, like, have that relationship with you that I'm like, yeah, my mom's cool, like, come talk to her, you know?
I'm a cool girl.
and what was so interesting was she was my teacher. And so, like, not only was she my mom, but mm-hmm. I went to a K-8 school. So, like, my whole elementary and then middle school, she was in the building. And so, like, there wouldn't nothing get past her, you know? I would have teachers go down the hallway and tell her what her daughter had done that day. And so, I mean, it's like, yes, growing up, you have these, of course, like, parental, child, like, roles. But now, as we are adults, and I guess it was really when I was like kind of going to college, but really I remember a turning point when I was like 20, and it's like, okay, like I'm an adult now. We have this whole different dynamic where we can hang out and be friends, you know, and there are the eye rolling times where I'm like, I'm almost 30. As I've said for the past 10 years, you know, I'm like, I am trying to grow up, mom, like all these different things, but I am so grateful that I'm close to you. And
same.
You are cool.
You're a cool girl.
You're a cool girl. So, which I think this is what we were talking about when we first were prepping for all these episodes. I thought it was going to be really interesting to like see y'all's dynamic and talk about our dynamic, just because our whole show is about like what happened in your 20s or like struggles, things upcoming, being a young adult.
Yeah.
And I feel like I was your 20s.
Aww.
So, because I mean, you had me really young. And so, like, I look back, like, I'm 29. You had a 9-year-old right now. Yep. But I cannot imagine a little me running around. Right. Not even a little, like, a literal grown child.
Yeah, this was my mini me running around in the khaki shorts to match my khaki shorts.
Yes.
And the sweaters that I wore, and you had a sweater that matched me because you wanted to look like me.
Right. Like, I look back.
I matched too.
Yeah.
I didn't want that.
Well, we didn't even try. That was the funny part. We were just like, oh, look at this. I have a shirt just like yours.
No, I distinctly remember two things. One, this was like, I guess it was last year when I turned 29. I was looking for this one picture. No, it was when I turned 28. Mm-hmm. I was looking for this one picture because we were at Mama and Papa's house, and it's me. I'm standing on a chair next to you. This whole grown child, not a baby. Like I am a third
tall.
Grader. Yeah, I'm this tall, and you're turning 28, and I was like, I couldn't even.
Heartbreaking.
What do you mean? There's a child around here. Like I couldn't imagine that in my life. Right now, and also, like, I distinctly remember growing up, like, when we would have Jersey Day, I'll let you tell this part of it, but I'm gonna give a spoiler. She played professional softball, so she had her own jersey. So on Jersey Day, everybody was wearing Steve McNair and Peyton Manning and all this, and I had my mom's jersey on.
Yes,
and they're like, who's that? And I was like, this is my mom's jersey, and they're like, oh, what does that mean? And I was like, well, she played professionally.
Actually, the next question that would follow is, does she have her own player card?
Yes, she does.
Oh my god!
I didn't know that.
And
so
you are famous.
So, like, it was always, that was something that just, like, growing up, there was so, I mean, I think everybody has an interesting dynamic with their mom. I think that's part of, like, the mother-daughter dynamic of, like, okay, it's time. Please get out.
Yeah.
Like, we're done. But also, like, I don't know. I think there's a lot, kind of what you were talking about earlier, of, like, finding strength. I always say, I was raised by strong women, so you better watch out, because you don't know what's coming.
Well, it's more like, whatever we weren't able to say, she has no problem saying. So.
No, I don't, because I was given the permission. Mm-hmm. I was given the permission to... I don't want to say act like that, because it's not a bad thing. And I feel like when you say that, it sounds like a bad thing. But, like, I was given permission, like, no, it's okay. Like, you didn't like that boy smacked you on your behind. Well,
I'm going to say, go take care of it.
I did. I would say so. I was like, I don't like that. I don't appreciate you doing that. And they would come to my mom, and mom would be like, no. She asked them to say no. Well, I remember one time, I was, what, 5, 6, I was playing coach pitch. You were coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the boys, because it was co-ed, one of the boys was making fun of my friend, and she was the catcher. Mm-hmm. And he was making her cry and calling her, like, fat and a piggy, like, calling her names.
Yeah.
Well, here's Alex, 6 years old, towering over everybody, and I grabbed him by his shirt, and I pushed him up against him. I was like, you're not going to be mean to my friend.
Period.
And the mom, his mom's like, and so he goes to her, and she's like, your daughter. He's like, she's like, no, your son is calling our catchers a name. Now, should my daughter be putting her hands on your son? No, but your son should not be calling a little girl names, and my daughter is going to defend her friends. And I'm like, yeah, take it. And I'm like, so Sagittarius. Okay, okay. Lights everybody up. Fire. But no, like, I think that for, I don't know, I guess just my entire life, it's always, I think, strength and, like, the defender. I think those two words constantly come up in my head. Mm. So yeah, that's...
I love that you said that at the beginning, like, you know your own strength, mm-hmm. like... And that just, it makes a lot of sense that you are her mom, because it just embodies her, you know, like, Alex does have this strength about her that you just carry yourself. And I think we did talk about that, and
yeah.
I did listen to one of our past episodes today, and we were talking about that, like, how you have changed and grown into your own skin and your own strength, because,
yeah. I don't know. It hasn't always been there.
Comes with age.
It does come with age, and, like, the fear of... I don't want to say retaliation or like not fitting in or things like that. So
yeah, well, I feel like society also plays a role in how much women feel like they're capable of speaking out.
Facts.
And mm-hmm. I know just in us talking, you know, there's what about a 6-year age mm-hmm. difference? Mm-hmm. Not much, but definitely. From the time you were in high school to the time I was in high school, women were much more vocal
yeah.
to the point where we were in college to where they were in college.
Yeah.
It, you know, our age group got tired of not being heard, and so we taught our girls to
mm-hmm.
talk
yeah.
about it and say
yeah.
what they need to say.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. No, and then you look at college girls now, like, my favorite thing on TikTok is the college girls who, like grunt when they're
yes.
when they're out with their friends and
yes.
stuff. They get unnecessary attention that they're like, are you
and they
kidding
just growl
me?
At
and
them.
They're like,
right.
rah, rah, rah,
yeah,
like they're like,
they just
oh
my
God. It's
yeah.
so funny because we all know the unwanted attention when you're just trying to go out and have fun, and then you're made to feel guilty, like, why didn't you want that attention? And it's like
or the ones that will then catcall the guys in reverse.
Yeah, yeah. Like, right.
And make
wow.
them
can
understand
taste their own medicine.
How just uncomfortable sometimes that can make it. It's,
yeah.
it's flattering in one aspect to feel mm-hmm. like somebody's paying attention to you, but not in that same aspect of, well, I didn't ask for your attention.
Right.
I wasn't
there's always,
wanting your
we
attention.
We all know that
right.
there is an opposite of that, of like, if you say no, what will happen? What could happen?
Yeah.
What
mm-hmm.
what's about to be, you're about to be called names or something.
Yeah.
Like, anyway. So, moving forward.
Yes.
Because I feel like that's a whole episode. That actually is an
episode,
but anyway.
Yeah.
So, I don't know who wants to go first, but... Who would like
to talk about your
20s? Regurgitate your 20s a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, to piggyback on what you were saying about, you know, the cat calls and all that, when my sister was like 4, this little boy was trying to play with her in a pool. We were on vacation, and she just goes, "Get away from me, boy." And
yeah.
so this wasn't necessarily my 20s, but like
yeah.
if
yeah.
I could go back and tell my younger self, listen, you need to learn how to say, "Get away from me, boy,"
yeah.
because I didn't. Mm. And, you know, you're talking about the differences. There was quite the difference in the way I was raised versus, you know, and so that was kind of an issue for me in high school. But by the time I was 20, I had started dating your dad.
Yeah.
He was 19 years old,
right.
a mere child, and I was 20.
Right.
And then we dated for 4 and got married.
And 23.
At 23, right? I mean,
we made it
by the
yeah.
grace of God.
Yeah.
We made it. But like 23, I look back like, that's so young. But we also got our master's degrees. That was a
right.
big thing for us when we didn't have kids yet.
Yeah.
And so you, my dear, in my 20s, were planned
yeah.
because of the Virgo that I am.
Yes.
Temperature charts to prove it.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Like, yes. She was born in May so that I could be off in the summer. Like,
yeah.
it was just a whole thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that was my 20s. And then I had you at 27. And so I don't feel like an old mom, but, like, I am older because my mother had me very young.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, okay, I'm going to do this and this and this and this before I have... baby.
Yeah.
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 He's
So yeah, those were my 20s, and you know, you and I were talking today about how it was when we were 30, and I'm like, okay, well, when we were 27 and had you, we stayed at home and we watched Friends. Friends was on. It was the 90s, mm-hmm. and you know, this is what we're doing, and
yep.
You know, just going through the day to day, and our friend group was different. It was a shift. Yeah. Of, okay, we're not those young college kids anymore that fell in love and, you know, fraternity right. and sorority life. And so, but by the time we were 30, it's that turning point. It really, really is. So, get ready.
Lots of crying.
Let me tell you right now, I already know I'm the fun aunt.
Yeah.
A lot of my friends have started having babies. Like, one of our college friends, she just had her little one. And I'll go and I'm like, yeah, come here, give me those chunky cheeks.
Yeah. I love play baby.
Come here. Like, I have baby stuff at my house, but I have no kids. I have cats.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but I want you to feel welcome at my house, you know? I want you to feel welcomed, and, like, your kid is more than welcome to come and play and whatever, and then also take them when you're gone. Like,
yep.
Okay. Get them out. So,
get that thing out of here.
Okay. Put that thing back where it came from.
We're so happy.
I just always known I was gonna be the fun aunt. I think that's also because all of my siblings, all my siblings are 11, 13, and 14 years younger than I am.
Yeah.
And so like, I always make the joke, I was like, well, I'm done raising kids. I've already got one out the door, we got three more, let's go.
We got a teenager in there.
Yeah,
it's a teenager. Yeah. And all three of your teenagers.
Right.
So, wow. So, yeah,
no, I was like, when y'all start having kids, you can come bring them to my house, but until then.
Right.
But it's funny, even with that, like,
when
with you having the age gap, just like I did.
Yeah.
Because our moms had us young. Yeah. You know, the age gap of the siblings, there is a turning point in your relationship with them when they become a certain age. And it's like, oh, yeah, you are 12 years younger than me. Or you are 21 years younger than me.
She was 21 when her baby brother was
born. She was 6. Yeah. Or no, he was 6 when you were born.
Yeah.
And so.
I was a 6-year-old uncle.
But it's really cool to see that dynamic change, too. Yeah. So you get to look forward to new relationships, not only upward, but downward.
Yeah. I know. The ages. They're getting.
You're so, like a parent.
No.
You are like a parent.
I know. I'm like a little, like, I don't know, the little shifter. I'm just a little like, hey, you know mom's going to get mad at that.
Yeah.
Or like,
yeah.
What did he say? Oh, I was telling Matthew about his first little date, and he's like, I can't believe you told Mama. And I was like, well, you could have heard the comments from Mama, or... I got to hear and be the buffer. That's what I am. I'm the buffer. I'm the buffer. I'm like, hey, yo.
Right.
I might want to cut that out. Yeah. Because.
Well, and it's interesting being like the older sibling, you know. I don't know. Me and Ben aren't that far apart. But I've like being the older sibling, like you did everything first, you know.
Yeah.
So you know the ins and outs. You know how to. How to do, and so the younger ones are like, okay, no,
they
do things.
They did it sooner.
Yeah.
They did it sooner. You did it first, but they did it sooner. Yep. You went through that a lot with, like, why'd you let Ben do that already? I didn't get to do that.
I know. He got to see an R-rated movie at like 10. And I'm not really, but maybe, I don't know. But yeah, I'm like 21 by the time.
We watched We're the Millers.
Yes. Yeah. When he was like 16, I don't even know.
He was younger than that.
Yeah.
All right.
Well,
how do you
define your
20s?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's okay. I was just going to say my 20s were, I don't know, they were definitely different. My 20s were probably not the same experience that a lot of people would have had.
I know a few people that have had your experience.
I know. Your 20s were what, from basically 90?
Yes. 1989, I've turned 20.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So 89 to 99.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I'm a few years younger.
Mm-hmm.
And so I turned 20 in 96. And whenever I turned 20, I had a 1-month-old.
Mm-hmm.
And was in college, was playing softball, navigating, you know, new baby, new marriage, new everything, mm-hmm. And trying to figure out how I fit in with, you know, the girls on the team, how I fit in with my classmates, how did I fit in, because I wasn't the same as them. Mm-hmm. I was definitely different, mm-hmm. even though I was the same. Mm-hmm. And so there was a lot of conflict there. Mm-hmm. That, right. You know, they could go out on Thursday night or Friday night, Saturday, whenever mm-hmm. the mood struck, and they're like, oh, hey, we're just going to go out. You want to come? Oh, wait a minute. Who's going to watch Alex? Mm-hmm. Who do you have somebody to watch Alex? You know, and so, you know, it took planning. You know, I had to make sure that, mm-hmm. you know, I had the daycare set up so that I could go to class and make sure that if I wasn't going to be able to get off in time in the afternoon from practice, that somebody was there to pick her up. You know, so it pushed me into growing up really fast. Mm-hmm. But it was one of those, I didn't know any different. And so sometimes whenever you don't know any different, it happens.
Yeah.
You just, sure you just jump and you go sure and you do.
Yeah.
Right.
You're a marble.
Yeah. and I know I was telling Alex that, you know, after I finished college, after I finished playing, you know, I'd started doing my own lessons and started having my own business. And that's one of the other reasons she got to travel all the time is because she'd just pack up and we'd go do lessons somewhere. And she'd get fussy and I'd just put her up on my hip and we're doing lessons. And, you know, I'm like, okay, you need to sit over there and play in the dirt for a second. I got to show these girls how to pitch.
Yeah.
And she'd be like, okay. And usually she'd get over there and this, you know, we always meet at parks and whatnot so that you could go to the playgrounds.
Except the one time with the splinters.
Oh, we'll talk about that here in a second.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So, like I said, most of the time we're at, you know, city parks mm-hmm. where you have a playground and then brothers and sisters will come with the ones that are, you know, taking lessons mm-hmm. and they'll keep you occupied. And they did. They always enjoyed having you around. And I know a couple dads would even pull you off to the side while, you know, I was working with their daughters, mm-hmm. and yeah. they'd catch her, or, you know, mm-hmm. have her do some older stuff yeah. as she got a little older. But yeah, you did not have fun at that one park.
No,
oh my god,
it was a skate ramp,
it
right?
It was the old skate ramps there in Huntingdon, and they were made out of wood.
Oh my god!
And so I'm over on the park, you know, in the field, working, doing my thing. Mama was there, wasn't she?
Yes, yes, no.
My mother was supposed to be watching her. And
well, she was watching me slide down the old wooden.
Yes. In bare feet.
Oh my god.
Bare feet. Shorts.
Yeah.
Shorts. Oh. T-shirt. Bare hands. Bare feet. Oh, sliding all over the place until we get back home, and she's like, "My feet, my hands hurt," and I'm like, "I look at her hands.
They're like,"
and she just has these chunks of wood.
Gosh.
And I'm like, okay, this is gonna really hurt. So we're gonna put something on the TV.
Do you know what they put on the TV?
What?
Cats.
Cats.
Oh. Cats. I was gonna say, I had Aladdin when I was getting a splinter out.
Yeah, it was the only thing that
she only had one.
Yeah, and not a
whole. This
probably had 100.
It was in my butt.
It was so bad.
Oh, it was so bad.
They played Cats. They put the VHS in. And I'm just sitting there. They would soak my hands.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I would just sit there as they were like,
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. I'm pretty sure I ended up having to just send Mama home.
I mean, yeah.
Because she was, bless her heart, she was just like, I just can't do this. I just can't take this.
She felt so bad.
She felt so bad. And I was like, oh, it'll be okay. It'll be okay. We'll be fine.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be.
That would have been, what, your mid-20s?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we were in the apartment.
Mm-hmm. Of course, my 20s were split basically in half because I was doing lessons and realized that, you know, with Alex getting to be almost school age, you know, she had to have insurance. She had to have, you know, health care and all kinds of stuff like that. And so I needed a steady income and whatnot. And I said, okay, I have this chemistry degree. What am I going to do? And so I went and got a real job.
Yeah.
Not that the lessons weren't taking care of the bills, but in the summer,
you're working for yourself.
Everybody's playing. Mm-hmm. In the winter, you never know if they're going to come or if they're not. It's just a volatility that I was not comfortable with. Mm-hmm. And so whenever I got a real job with my chemistry degree, I was at the Arsenal whenever 9/11 hit. And she was in kindergarten.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. 45 minutes away, and being at the arsenal, we were locked down. We were shut down. No, we couldn't call out, couldn't call in for probably a good 4 or 5 hours. She didn't know because
she was
at school.
Sure.
And
then, it's not even.
And they did money. You know, they just took care of everything. And that's why I was so grateful for, you know, all the people that I had around me at that time. But that was a divide in what was my early 20s to then after that. Because after that, the world. It just changed. It went on its ear. I mean, those of us that were old enough to remember, it was like what we thought was normal was no longer normal, and just this sense of, it wasn't panic, but it was just, you were always looking over your shoulder. You were always watching out for everything, and it was just a lack of security.
I remember the first time we went to the airport. We were celebrating our 10-year anniversary. You were 6, so you were at home. But they literally opened our luggage and started going through it. Well, I started crying because it dawned on me, this is why they're having to do that.
This is now where we are.
Yeah. Your dad had this ring, and he was so worried that they were going to pull it out, and I was going to know.
Oh, my God.
Yes. He's surprised.
Anyway. And that was the time you couldn't come home to your kids because they were like, they bumped your flight or something. It was a whole day.
Oh, yeah.
So I cried in first class.
Mama Bear got in first class.
Just screaming at the workers like, you better be, here's my seat right here.
These were, you can kind of say it was pre 9/11 and post 9/11.
Yeah.
And post 9/11 was definitely a different world to be in. I feel like it affected a lot of us.
Well, you were 25, right?
I was 25 when 9/11 happened.
And like we've talked about the idea of like, let's take the 9/11 out of it, but the idea of what your mid 20s are.
Yeah.
And like we already covered like career changes, friendship changes, life changes, just everything is already just like regurgitating and churning up. And so, and then on top of that, now
the world did even more so.
I mean, at the time.
Sorry, my cat is howling.
See, he even agrees with
me. Yeah,
he the most dramatic thing ever. But I mean, I think it really, not necessarily, I think going to school post 9/11, let me tell you, I can tell you the videos forwards and backwards and exactly when things are going to happen because we had to watch it every single year. And like, it's still, even though I was so young when everything happened, it was still just such a, like, surreal, yes, but, like, feeling like the world's ending.
Well, so. And that also, you know, was not a direct relationship to, you know, I ended up changing careers. I ended up, there were some things, obviously, military is never a guarantee, contracts change, things like that, and whenever the ammunition plant decided they were going to go in a different direction, the people that actually owned it and operated it decided that they were going to consolidate their operations with 2 or 3 other plants. And so whenever you get phased out, you're one of the ones you got to go find something different.
Yeah.
And, you know, at that point,
you've been playing with your hair, so
I know.
I'm
sorry, I do. I play with
it's
my
so
hair.
Pretty. I'm a girl.
Everybody used to play with her hair in school. She was also my school teacher, but
yeah, bless her.
That was only in high school.
Yes.
Only in high school.
I
only had you for 2
great
classes, and then most of the time I was like,
yeah.
Actually, everybody thought I was adopted. Because we had different last names. Last names, and they're like, why you have different? And I was like, people get divorced and remarried. Like,
it's like, look at us.
Actually,
like, Illinois.
Exactly. Oh, and like, of course, it was the 2010s, so straight hair with the twin, and I have curly hair. And I was like, it's finally my time.
Yeah. The years I grew up in the 80s and the early 90s, where the hair was really clear.
Honey.
And it was all curly and
no, this is the
this is natural. This is all natural. Yeah. This is straight out of the shower.
This is, oh my God. It dries. I don't even have to brush it. It's just, I love it. There it is.
And you're giving 70s.
Yes.
And
we love it. I'm all 70s.
My mother used to literally iron her hair with a real iron.
No.
Yes.
Oh,
so does your mama.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mama did.
That's terrifying. Yeah.
Don't try this in this century, girl.
Don't try this.
It was an interesting time to live through.
Yes.
It was definitely interesting, to say the least.
The early 2000s were a very interesting time. Mm. Just in and of themselves.
Right. Anyway. Right.
So, kind of after the recap of y'all's 20s, what do you feel like was something that you learned throughout your 20s, or what your 20s taught you?
I learned to be resilient. I learned that, okay, just because I had this idea in my mind that this is how my life should go, and then here we are, we're going straight forward, and it's like, yeah, right.
Girl, me and you were the same person.
You just thought you were going to go down that little path. No.
Literally.
You know, we're not doing anything that is remotely the straightforward, easy way.
Nope.
You know, we're going to go over the river and through the woods and up Mount Everest and down through Death Valley and hopefully, you know, come out on the other side remotely unscathed. Yeah. But in that, you realize, you know, whenever you don't have a choice, you just do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you've heard people say that, and until you've actually been there, and you're just like, well, how did you do that? I don't know. I didn't know there was a choice. I didn't know there was another option.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just buckle down and say, all right, here we go.
There you go.
Yeah.
Somebody told me one time, long story short, I was getting introduced for a speech that I was giving, and it was about my career and all the things.
Mm-hmm.
And so they said, you know, sometimes people, when they go on road trips, they go quickest destination, like the fastest, get from point A to point B. And then sometimes you have those people that take the scenic route.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were like, this is Susanna Brown, who has the scenic route,
yep.
You know, in mind. And it does give a lot more character to your life.
You just said, thanks, I got the grit.
Yeah.
Now we just have the stories to get.
Exactly. And you have that resiliency and, like, you know, now it's like, well, there's nothing I can't do.
Yeah,
true. I mean, I've done it all. But yeah. I love that. No, we're very similar to the scenic group.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel like that goes back to the idea of, what was one of the questions where, I forgot the question, but we were talking about why I look at things the way I look at things, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I did struggle with that to a certain extent, but I don't ever think there was really ever a path to begin with.
Yeah.
You were a marble.
Just here.
It was a marble.
You're a marble.
Run around.
Run
around.
Run around.
But it was actually going down.
Just spiraling.
We're actually spiraling down. No, but I think that is, like, I think knowing how straight everything was.
Right.
And then, why does it have to be that way?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was what I grew up with.
Exactly.
Why does it have to be that way?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Our generation now is very much like that. Like, you know, I'm going to do my own thing. I'm not going to go do what everybody else has done. I'm going to go do the different thing. And so I think that is the divide of, like, you know, from y'all's parents, and they went high school, college, job. Like, you know,
High school job. A lot of them didn't even go to college.
Right.
And so I know that was something, I don't know if your parents did this, but I know it was just kind of, it wasn't, oh, are you going to go to college? It was just, like, which college are you going to?
Yes.
Right.
You know, it wasn't even an assumption of, are you? It was
just,
here's what you're going to do.
Right.
And here's how you're going to be successful. And I was like, okay, cool.
Right.
And I loved it. I thought, you know, okay, this is what I want to do. Here's how I want to take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, unfortunately, and I know this has been something that's been talked about at least for the last 10 to 15 years, and I think it's important that it has been for girls and guys and everybody,
mm-hmm.
is how media as far as movies, TV shows, soap operas, you know, all those kind of things, you know, influenced, you know, what societal norm said, this is what you're supposed to do.
Right.
This is how you're supposed to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, here's the big pretty white dress, and you go find your Prince Charming, and you walk down the aisle, and you live happily ever after, and you have your 2.3 kids, and the dog, and the cat, and the
white picket fence, and the
white picket fence, you know, just the Leave It to Beaver, and
Well, tagging on to that, like, my mother, reverse order, and it was 1969. Mm-hmm. So, pregnant, turned 18, got married.
Right.
Dad went to Vietnam, came back, wife and baby, divorced. I was three, didn't know them together. So my whole life, and I've teased Bob Brown that I went to college to get that MRS degree.
Yes.
Because my goal was to have what I have, you know. And like I said, grace of God, we have lasted 32 years. Because you've seen explosions. And it happens. But you gotta communicate. You have to communicate.
Yeah.
You know, but that's the thing, is for me, with my paradigm of what my dreams were, and for you to be like, I'm gonna get an RV and I'm gonna live across the world, or I might move to a foreign country, and I'm like, if a partner comes along, great, and if not, great, and I'm like, okay, this is her. This is what she wants.
Yeah.
You know, and so for me to have to go, I gotta accept this, because that's your life and your dream.
I remember on a very surface level scale here, not to the depth of that, but I remember our very first conversation where it was no longer, I was going along with, everybody has to have that conversation at some point in time. Mm-hmm. And I think I think it was eighth grade going into freshman year, played lots of sports. And there's one sport I was terrible at, and it was basketball, ladies and gentlemen.
And period.
Let me tell you, I looked like a baby gazelle. I looked like a baby giraffe. I couldn't get the right things in the right area. And so
that's really what she looked like, trying to dribble down the floor.
It was horrible. Okay, was so she played basketball. She played softball. I loved soccer, and I loved softball. Like, those were my two favorite sports. I ended up playing both of them in high school, but I remember sitting, and basketball tryouts were coming up, and the basketball coach saw me and was like, oh, you're going to come try out, right? And I said, ha, no. And mom's like, what do you mean, no? What do you mean? Are you not going to be a three-sport athlete? What do you mean? What do you mean? What do you mean? What do you mean? And I'm like, Mom, I literally hate basketball. And you're like, we had some silence for a while, and it was like, you know what? That's fine. That's fine. The second, it's funny that both of these involve sport. The second silence was the day I told you I wasn't going to play collegiately in softball. Whoa. That car ride was awkward. It was, I just don't want you to throw away. Which, you can't get that time back. No. Which, like, I totally get it. Like, I look at college players and I'm like, man, like, that could have, I could have, I could have. And, like,
well, and I looked at it also from a coach's view, that there were so many times that I had amazingly talented players who had no ambition to go on to that next level, and I'm just like, oh, I would have loved to have had teammates like that. And then, you know, you had some that absolutely had no business being out there, and they were the ones wanting to go on to the next level, and that's wonderful. I mean, that's great. But they might not always have had the talent, they grew into that. They developed it. They found their place, their niche, and that was wonderful. Yeah. But just as a coach, you know the ones that kind of have that little bit of a gift, or they read it differently. And I was just like, oh yeah, you could do that.
I mean, and I distinctly remember us having that conversation, because it was my sophomore year in high school, and I was like, I was so fed up, I was so burnt out, I was like, I'm ready to be done. And I think really that was probably what I can think of one other conversation that we had very similarly that did not involve a sport. And like, I think that was the realization of, hold up, you're actually a person.
You're
But that you're you have your own desires, you have your own dreams, you have your own goals.
Yes. Right.
You
know, playing, they aren't mine.
Playing D1 softball was my dream at a time whenever the SEC didn't even have softball.
Yeah.
You know, and so I knew how much I struggled to even be able to get out there. Then that was exactly why I said, don't make this decision too soon or too lightly, because I don't want you to come back in your 20s and go, oh man, I could have done that.
I could have done it, and I'm glad that
you
I chose.
Didn't want to.
I'm glad I chose what I chose.
Yeah.
Art.
But,
right.
That is embodying you.
And sorority campus life. And
well, that's how I was with band. Like, I wanted, you know, I wanted to do college band, but I said, I want to do the sorority thing. And that is why I didn't choose college. That I would have done band at. So.
Right. No, let me tell you, because it sounds very surface level, but I think that this pass came by and it probably went way below surface level. Because, like I said, I was like, this sounds so funny to say after what y'all just said.
No, but.
But do you remember? I would bring my homework home. I would hand a notebook binder, 3-ring binder, to my mother. She'd be like, why is this backwards? This is not how you do your binders. And she reorganized it all. And I'm like, it made no sense in my head. I was like, what do you mean? What is this? And then I had a teacher that did the same way that I did. And mom's like, oh, I guess there are other ways that this could be.
That's funny.
This other,
so I had always organized it a certain way. Yeah. The teachers I had always wanted it this way.
Right.
Or they wanted it their way, which seemed very foreign to me. Mm-hmm. But I was like, okay, they have my grade in their hands, so I better do what they want.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until her high school English teacher.
My junior English teacher.
I sat at her desk one time. I had to watch her class for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, flip, flip, flip. And I asked her, I said, do you put your things from the oldest at the back going forward? And she's like, well, yeah, why would you do it any other way? And I was like,
Oh, okay.
You know, I should have known this about 10 years ago, but okay.
No, so like, it sounds so trivial when I'm like, yeah, like we had a conversation. I didn't want to play basketball anymore. And it's like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
But like, it was so much, I think there's also some underlying ADHD in there. Hyperfixation of like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
But like, that's also that my grandparents are as well. It's like, what do you mean? I don't understand why there's another, what do you mean there's another thing?
Well, and I think too, especially as mom, like, and I don't know, I'm obviously not a mom. I have cats. So I think, you know, you have this human form and you obviously want what's best for them. And like, you have your desires and what you've done. And so you're like, well, what do you mean you don't want it this way? Like, this is the way. This is what I taught you. And so when we start forming like these different thoughts and like, well, maybe I actually want to go point B or whatever.
Maybe I want to get an RV. And
maybe I do want to get an RV. You never know.
Oh, Cousin Eddie.
Hey, if anything, I'll be your co-pilot.
Let's just go, Jessica.
I have retirement goals now.
Okay. Got it.
There we go.
Yes. All right. Well,
what advice would you give your past self?
Well, I already told y'all. Get away from me, boy.
Get away from me, boy.
And period. Never forget.
No. If only I had the wherewithal way back to have said that.
So insane.
I always do, when we teach theme, I do the fox and the crow.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how she listens to the fox and she does what he wants. And I'm like, wow, was I that black crow giving the cheese to the idiot? It's like, let me just sweet talk you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I think that applies, you know, definitely, you know.
That's boundaries.
Exactly.
Right? That was not a word!
What all those things!
What's boundary?
Boundary!
The edge of the boundary.
Listen to episode 4.
Episode
4.
That's the edge of the pool. That's the boundary.
That's not something that we got to express.
No. Let me ask you this, because this comes up a lot in the career aspect, but... Yeah. The idea, if your kid, if we were back being 3-4 years old, and you had an elder
not an elder adult, yes, an adult, but like a relative come up that we didn't know, and we're over here like, and you're like, okay, like you need to go hug them, like you have to go hug Uncle Bobby over here that you've never met in your entire life, and the kid says no.
Oh.
Pumpkin said get out.
Yeah.
I'm not Uncle Bobby.
Pumpkin
no.
Just sit banners.
No. So no, I would not have made my kids no
hug a random relative. Mm-hmm.
So that's like, but like that's that idea of mm-hmm. like where mm-hmm. does like our autonomy and boundaries start? That's a whole different episode.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But go to season one, episode four. It's out there. So
but back on that, yes. I know that sometimes as a mother, a young mother, mm-hmm. a first time mother, mm-hmm. a lot of times we were pressured into those kind of things. Mm-hmm. Well, you had to go hug everybody. Why aren't you making them go do that? Yes. I'm like, well, yes. Because I just don't mm-hmm. know that
yeah.
that's mm-hmm. appropriate at this time. Mm-hmm. Or I'm just not sure that we can shake hands. You know,
yeah.
I've met you. You know,
It's what advice would you give to your past self?
What advice?
Specifically to your advice, like you in your 20s.
Mm-hmm. No, I like her advice. I like that advice.
That's
a
boy.
Well, it's not even, yes, like I said, it's not even about the boys. It's about setting those boundaries. Mm-hmm. But I think before we had this conversation tonight, you know, if I had anything to say to myself in my 20s, trust yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Trust yourself. Mm-hmm. That a lot of times we are able to read situations and pick up on things, and then somebody will get in our ear and say, well, are you sure you really want to do that? Or is that going to be the best mm-hmm. thing to do? Mm-hmm. And it could have been, you know, a friend. It could have been a teammate. It could have been a spouse. It mm-hmm. could have been, you know, a perfect stranger. You know, it could have been your parents. You know, it doesn't have to be anybody in particular, but just somebody else putting that little bit of doubt.
Yeah.
And especially that was the one thing that just absolutely floored me in my 20s was how much I was considered less than just because I was a young female.
Mm-hmm.
In softball, I'm like, I've played this my whole life. Why would you not want your daughter coming to me for softball lessons? Because I'm just now finishing up. Why would you take your daughter to some old man who might have played back in the, you know,
back in the day,
in the Army or the Navy or whatever, mm-hmm. and might not remember anything? You know, why are you taking your child mm-hmm. to somebody who has never actually done what we're trying to do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and that was always something that upset me, you know, whether it was softball or science, you know, chemistry, you know, anything like that, you know, just right. feeling like you were discounted just because you were younger.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really, really lucky in the first team that I wanted to coach. I was 19.
Wow.
I was 19 or 20.
Wow.
It was either, I know, because I coached two or three teams just while Alex was, you know, little bitty. And those girls were 16 to 18 year olds.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. they made two older women agree to be the coaches just so that then I could actually come in and run the teams.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, the two ladies that I was working with were amazing, but they said, mm-hmm. we don't really want to do this,
mm-hmm.
but we're also not going to not have it where you can.
Right. Wow.
And these were, you know, ladies that, you know, I'm immensely grateful to, and I was grateful to the dads that were on the softball board at the time that said, why does it matter that she's only a couple years older than these girls? If she can coach them, she can coach them. And nobody else has stepped up to come coach them. So, you know, why not give her the opportunity? You know, I think that's something that a lot of times we do as early 20s especially, that we doubt ourselves. Mm-hmm. And then when we get into our...
And I doubt myself every day.
Well, and then when we get into our late 20s, you finally start realizing, well, that was really stupid to doubt myself whenever I knew all along that that was the right path mm-hmm. for me. But then I let other people convince me otherwise mm-hmm. or derail me in whatever fashion that then, you know, slow down that progress.
Yeah.
Because like you said, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen.
Exactly. Exactly. No, I love that. Trust your gut, man. Because you're the only one who has to say
much.
I love that.
For being on our very first guest.
Yay!
So, how we end it, we...
Come back next time.
So, we are back in action. So, make sure you check us out on Spotify, Apple Music, anywhere you get your podcast, and on YouTube.
Because we look cute.
Because we look cute. We are dressed up to impress. Okay? Yes. Dressed to impress. And you can absolutely binge watch the entire first season. So, go do that. Come meet us back here on this comfy couch. And until next time...
Stay groovy!
Stay groovy!
Bye!